During the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man with his wife and two sons went from Bethlehem of Judah to dwell in the territory of Moab. The name of that man was Elimelech, meaning the Lord is my God, my God is King. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the territory of Moab and settled there. But Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Then only she was left along with her two sons. They took wives for themselves, Moabite women. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. But both of the sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. Only the woman was left, without her two children and without her husband. Then she arose, along with her daughters-in-law, to return from the field of Moab. Because while in the territory of Moab, she had heard that the Lord had paid attention to his people by providing food for them. She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went along the road to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go. Turn back, each of you, to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices. But they replied to her, "No, instead we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters, go. I am too old for a husband, and if I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more, if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters, this is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and to her gods. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me and more so, if even death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her about it. So both of them went along until they arrived at Bethlehem. When they arrived at Bethlehem, the whole town was excited on account of them, and the women of the town asked, "Can this be Naomi?" She replied to them, "Don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant or sweetness, "but call me Mara," which means bitter. "For the Almighty has made me very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has returned me empty. Why would you call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has deemed me guilty?" Thus Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, returned with her from the territory of Moab. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now Naomi had a respected relative, a man of worth, through her husband from the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field so that I may glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose eyes I might find favor." Naomi replied to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She arrived and she gleaned in the field behind the harvesters. By chance, it happened to be the portion of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was from the family of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem. He said to the harvesters, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Boaz said to his young man, the one who was overseeing the harvesters, "To whom does this young woman belong?" The young man who was overseeing the harvesters answered, "She's a young Moabite woman, the one who returned with Naomi from the territory of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean so that I might gather up grain from among the bundles behind the harvesters.' She arrived and has been on her feet from the morning until now and has sat down for only a moment." Boaz said to Ruth, "Haven't you understood, my daughter? Don't go glean in another field. Don't go anywhere else. Instead, stay here with my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that they are harvesting and go along with them. I've ordered the young men not to assault you. Whenever you are thirsty, go to the jugs and drink from what the young men have filled." Then she bowed down, face to the ground, and replied to him, "How is it that I found favor in your eyes, that you notice me? I'm an immigrant." Boaz responded to her, "Everything that you did for your mother-in-law after your husband's death has been reported fully to me. How you left behind your father, your mother, and the land of birth and came to a people you hadn't known beforehand. May the Lord reward you for your deed. May you receive a rich reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." And then moving along, Ruth replied to her, to Naomi, "I'll do everything you are telling me." So Ruth went down to the threshing floor, and there she did everything just as her mother-in-law had ordered. Boaz ate and drank, and he was in a good mood. He went over to lie down by the edge of the grain pile. Then she quietly approached, uncovered his legs, and lay down. During the middle of the night, the man shuddered and turned over, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. She replied, "I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread out your robe or your wing over your servant, because you are a redeemer." Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I've bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon, and also Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, I've bought to be my wife, to preserve the dead man's name for his inheritance, so that the name of the dead man might not be cut off from his brothers or from the gate of his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord grant that the woman who is coming into your household be like Rachel and like Leah, both of whom built up the house of Israel. May you be fertile in Ephrathah, and may you preserve a name in Bethlehem. And may your household be like the household of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the children that the Lord will give you from this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He was intimate with her. The Lord let her become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "May the Lord be blessed who today has left you without, who today hasn't left you without a redeemer. May his name be proclaimed in Israel. He will restore your life and sustain you in your old age. Your daughter-in-law, who loves you, has given birth to him. She's better for you than seven sons." Naomi took the child and held him to her breast, and she became his guardian. The neighborhood women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They called his name Obed, meaning worker or one who serves God. He became Jesse's father and David's grandfather. And then verses we read earlier from Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for good, for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. And from Philippians 4:19. My God will meet your every need out of his riches in the glory that is found in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would minister to us from your word. We ask that you would remind us of your love and of your providence, of your provision for our lives. And gracious Lord, help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us this day. Touch our hearts, the whole of our being. Give us what we need this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. It is one of the most beautiful love stories in the scriptures. No, it isn't a love between a man and a woman, although that developed. It was a love between a woman and her daughter-in-law. Naomi means pleasant or sweetness, and apparently there had been a sweetness to her that had enamored both her daughters-in-law there in the land of Moab, to which they had fled as a family, she with her husband and their sons, when famine struck Bethlehem. They were there for 10 years. Elimelech died seemingly soon after moving. Mahlon and Chilion also died. And meanwhile, Naomi had gotten word that God had provided back in Bethlehem, that God had met the needs of the people. He had once again provided food. And so she determines to go home. And from the way it is written and from the tenor that it takes as you move along, it seems that she had gone with every intention of dying, that she had all but shut down. She had given up. It is a beautiful thing to see what happens in Naomi as life begins to come into this one who has resigned himself or herself to death, and that there is nothing for her anymore, that God has disappointed her, God has made her bitter. I remember dealing with the woman in Nicholasville, Kentucky, a dear grandmother who was crying. Her grandson had died in an automobile accident where he and others had been drinking quite heavily. But to me, she said, "Why did God take my grandson?" Now, being the young, brash kid that I was at the time, I wanted to tell her what happened, but and who took what, that God didn't, but I knew that wasn't what she needed to hear. What she needed to hear is that God still loved her and was with her. It was the message that Naomi got as time went on. Oh, when she gets there, it's whatever. Ruth says, I'm going to go and see if I can't harvest in a field behind the harvesters. I'm going to glean or get the residue that is left behind, along with all the other who are poor, and along with the workers who have been picking up some of that residue so that it not be missed. And Naomi's attitude is, whatever, go ahead. If you want to go, that's whatever. I really don't care. I don't have a desire to live. She doesn't use the words, but the gist is there. But you see, God was working. God doesn't work in our timing. We're not told whether God took that full 10 years or whether they were just so comfortable in Moab that even though they had heard that God had blessed his people with food back in the hometown, that they stayed on because they were comfortable there. That's their home now. But as they've gone back, God provides again. The writer says, by chance. She entered just the right field. The field of a relative of Naomi. And not just a relative, but a close relative. One who had redeemer status. One of those who was pledged to care for the family. And if there is one in need, to provide for their release or whatever. Whatever the cost might be. Boaz starts out very unassuming. He just says, what you've done for your mother-in-law has been reported to me. What you have done for God, that you've come to rest under the protection of the God of Israel, that you've laid aside those gods back in your homeland. You've laid aside all of those things, and you've given your faith and your commitment and your love to the Lord God. And I trust that God will reward you for what you have done and for the faith that you have shown. Seeming to know that he is not first in line as Redeemer. And also, this is a Moabite. One who, for most people, damaged goods, you know, the enemy. Although the fact that they had gone there and found the people warm and friendly were those who had gone as immigrants themselves to that territory. Now this immigrant, this stranger who God has reminded Israel to welcome the stranger and to care for the stranger, that as she has come, she not only happens into the field of Boaz, but Boaz has a mother who is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew. Her name was Rahab. Boaz, the son of Rahab, the harlot of Jericho who had hidden the spies, had been spared by the Israelites and had become a part of these people of God. That this was Boaz's mother. He knew what it was to be a stranger. He, even in your homeland, even with the prestige of his father, he had become a man of honor. And God had blessed him. And God will bless even more. Naomi starts to come to life. And starts having these matchmaking tendencies. You can almost see the light starting to come back to the eyes that God led you to glean in that field, the field of, he's a redeemer. Now this is what I want you to do. First of all, you keep going back, and then after that, it's okay. The harvest is past. They're threshing. Now you go down to the threshing floor. You put on your best. You get all dolled up. And you go in under darkness. You uncover his feet and lay down at his feet. And when he wakes up, you tell him that you are requesting that he act in his role as Redeemer. That he restore this family. This family that is at the point of being extinguished. Boaz says, I'm not the first in line. But I assure you, I'll see that it's done. He goes, and the first in line, when he hears Naomi has a field, you can see his eyes light up, and he says, I'll buy it. Yeah, I'd like to enlarge my property. And he says, well, when you take that, you also take the wife of the dead man, Mahlon. You bring up child to him through her. And he becomes the heir of those fields and things. They're not yours anymore. They're his. And one man says, oh, that gets too complicated. I pass. And in so doing, he passes a sandal to Boaz. And Boaz there makes the declaration that he is buying the fields and that he is taking Ruth as his wife. And he will do not just his obligation, but that this will be his wife. We don't know if they had other children. We only know of Obed. And we know of Obed because he was the father of Jesse, the father of King David. When we come to the genealogy of Jesus, we have Tamar, who was the mother of Perez, the tribe of Judah, the son of Judah. And from there the one who had tricked Judah. And then you have Rahab is mentioned, Boaz, the son of Rahab. Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And then Mary. This woman promised in marriage to one Joseph. That God works in amazing ways. That God was working. He had restored bread to the house of bread, which is what the name Bethlehem means. He had brought them back to the land of the house of bread. But he had set in motion the living bread who would be born generations later in that town. Paul reminds us that God cares about us. It was something that Ruth discovered. It was something that Naomi finally discovered, that yes, God has blessed me. God has given me a son. Yeah, technically it's Naomi's son, but also by law, it's my son. It is the protector and the redeemer in my old age. This is the one who has been given, who belongs to me, the one who assures that my legacy lives on, that my life continues in some measure. And God promises, as he reminds us through Paul, that he's there for us. That when our hearts belong to him, when we love God, when we are called according to His purpose, when we are following Him with all our hearts, that it doesn't mean that there won't be bad things that happen to us. It doesn't mean that there won't be hard times and difficulties. It just means that God will use even those difficulties, even those trials, even those problems to somehow bring forth something good. It's a promise. And to the Philippians, not a very wealthy church, but one that had dared to make sure that Paul was cared for back in prison, and it sent a gift. Paul assures them that God will supply all their needs, something of which we are also promised. Such is the awesome God we serve. Such is the love of God. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for Your love, for Your provision for our lives, even those things that we may not see, and we cannot see any good coming from it. Somehow You're going to do that as we are faithful to You. Lord, help us to be faithful as a Ruth. Help us to be faithful as a Paul. Help us to be faithful to You, even as You are faithful to us. We pray in Jesus' holy and matchless name.